God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah. As we get into our message for today, I have to share with you, during this Christmas time or during the Advent season, I was hearing a very familiar song. Maybe some of you also have heard it. One of the good and oldies, a song entitled, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas." And that first verse goes like this. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. The author of this song notes that the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. So what does Christmas look like to you? According to this author, decorating the door with holly. For some, it may be that white Christmas. Too bad we didn't get a couple inches of snow to help add a little bit more decoration to the festive time of the year. For some, it would be a beautifully decorated Christmas tree. Others, making sure the lights are out so the neighbors could see. For others, it may be a manger scene in the front yard. The Christmas season, we have to remember, is 12 days in length. Even though a lot of our world seems to be ending the Christmas season, actually, by tomorrow, it actually goes on for another 12 more days. The snow, however, doesn't last forever, unfortunately. The decorations will soon come down. And what happened to all that energy and enthusiasm that seems to disappear at the end of the Christmas season? Well, I'm going to have to say that if your energy seems to be disappearing at the end of the Christmas season, after you put away the decorations, if that holiday joy, that Christmas spirit is no longer with you, maybe you have the wrong image of Christmas in your mind. You see, it doesn't have to be that way. We can experience that love, that joy, that energy, that enthusiasm that Christmas brings each and every day. The reason why it doesn't seem like we can carry that Christmas with us each and every day is we're looking in the wrong direction of what Christmas really is. We have in the back of our mind certain images. In our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, Isaiah gives us the image that we need to see, the image of a Savior being born to you. The joy of that very first Christmas is when God takes on flesh and blood and is born into our world of ours. And we may ask, how is it possible for God to take on flesh and blood and live among us? And the answer is, we really don't know. St. Paul reminds us of this when he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh." St. Paul reminds us it is a mystery. But just because it is a mystery doesn't mean that we should put it away in a box after the 12 days of Christmas is over. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that something else should take its place. We should celebrate this mystery of Christmas, that God is taking on flesh and blood, being born into our world of ours to deliver us God's love and his forgiveness. And this is something that we don't celebrate just once a year, but something we should celebrate every day of our lives. You see, we have to remember this tiny baby is the Savior of the world. The one who would die on the cross. The one who would reconnect humanity back to God. We may remember that, yes, our sins separate us from God. But we have now the Christ child. His word, his death, his resurrection now appeases God's wrath. For those who believe in his death and resurrection, they have the forgiveness of sins. You see, Christmas is not just an event that took place 2,000 years ago. Nor is it something that should be just celebrated near the end of December. But Christmas is with us every day because we need that love and that forgiveness every day. And more importantly, Christmas belongs to each and every one of you. Christmas is your very own. And through the faith, when we see the Christ child in Christmas, we now actually have that Christmas with us each and every day. Isaiah the prophet says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Notice the Christ child is for us. He came for us. And the Christ child becomes ours when we believe in the faith that he gives us. That faith that trusts in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. Notice there's nothing in here about holly on your door. There's nothing in here about poinsettias or Christmas trees or how many lights can be up on your house. When we truly picture the Christ child and have that faith that he gives to us, now we have Christmas with us each and every day. And this is something that we can carry with us because it is ours, because that Christ child makes it ours. This faith gives us the correct understanding of Christmas, to seek the Christ, our Savior, the one who reconnects us back to God. The famous Luther question would be, well, what does all this mean? You see, we have to remember this faith steers our thoughts away from the commercialism that many retailers use to get us to buy things and trinkets, and refocuses us through our faith to the Christ child. So as we see the Christ child, we behold his glory. Something now happens to our hearts. Just like when an adult sees a newborn baby, whether it be their own child or a distant relative, what happens to that adult? Typically, their hearts melt. They usually say, "Oh, that child is so cute." It sort of softens their hearts, puts a little happy smile on their face. In one essence, the same is true with the Christ child. Our hearts, hardened by sin and selfishness, now melt and soften by the love and forgiveness that that Christ child gives and bestows upon us. This softening helps us to put away the great anger, rage, bitterness, and malice we too often harbor, and is now replaced by the Christ child's love. How many of us remember the movie, the little cartoon movie, The Little Drummer Boy, who was carrying a great deal of anger and frustration with humanity because he had felt a lot of injustices as a result of sin? But what happened to him when he played his drum for the Christ child, when he saw the Christ child? His heart was melted when he looked upon that Christ child as he offered his gifts. We also need to remember that that Christ child grew up. Something happened. He was obedient to his Father, and he lived. He lived to serve us sinners. You see, God took on flesh and blood to serve his people. People who didn't deserve God's love, people who misused, people who took advantage of other people who deserved to be punished. Instead of being saved, people like each and every one of us, people who are sinners. But God doesn't want us punished. That's why God punished that very cute, adorable Christ child upon the cross, so that we will be loved instead of being despised by God. The Christ child even said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever believes has the faith. The Christ child is with them, and that love is now flowing through them. That love that now has melted their heart now can be seen in other people. You see, there's a change when we gaze upon the Christ child, and our hearts are now softened. So the Christ child gives us a command to keep his love flowing within us and through us. And there are two things that as Christians we should be practicing to continuing the softening of our hearts and to remind us that the Christ child is with us each and every day. The first is to direct ourselves toward the Christ child. The one who draws Christ unto himself through faith makes the Christ child his own and is now clothed with the Christ child's riches. So as we pray as we attach ourselves to God's holy word, as we participate in the Christ child's holy supper, eating the bread and the wine, which are his body and blood, strengthens our faith, helps melt our hearts, so that love and forgiveness of God flows freely through us. You see, as we connect ourselves more regularly to the ultimate source of love and forgiveness, which is that Christ child, our hearts grow with that love. The opposite, unfortunately, is true. When we rarely connect ourselves to God's Word or the Lord's Supper, when we rarely celebrate that love and forgiveness, only doing so maybe once or twice a year, what happens to our hearts? It's almost like our human hearts, the clogging of our arteries. And one day we may suffer a heart attack unless something is done to reverse the process. So we draw ourselves closer and more frequently to the Christ child so that the love and forgiveness may freely flow. And as that love and forgiveness freely flows, the second part is having that Christ child's love and forgiveness flow outside of us. That second part is directed actually toward our neighbor, so that we get down to our neighbor's level, seeing the many blessings which God has bestowed upon us, and now we can share those blessings with our neighbor. You see, as we realize that Christmas is not about our greediness, Christmas is not about the decorations, but Christmas is about the Christ child and his love and forgiveness. That love and forgiveness melts our hard hearts so that love and forgiveness flows freely through us and to our neighbor. St. Paul reminds us of something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have the faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Paul knows very well that that love and forgiveness of the Christ child has to flow through us to extend to other people. So have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt without a lot of energy? Have you ever felt that holiday frustration and anger? If so, we return to the Christ child. Look to his love and look to his forgiveness. Ask him to melt our hearts. This is the picture of what Christmas looks like from God's point of view. It is the love that flows from the Christ child through us to the world around us. As the word of Isaiah the prophet says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of darkness, on them the light has shined." That light is a direct reference to God's love and his forgiveness that is made known to us through that Christ child. So as our sins, as our hardened hearts, stop that flow of love and forgiveness, the Christ child's love melts that, so it flows quickly through us. So now we remember with Isaiah again near the end of our text, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be, or shall be called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Yes, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, as we focus ourselves to the Christ child and his love. God's peace and his love be with you during this Christmas season and for all eternity. In his name, amen.